Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? It's Lean Keys, Real Talk, episode 83. 83 reasons to listen back again. 83 episodes of pure genius greatness. Nah, I'm just playing. But yeah, we here, definitely. Lee is here. We doing it tonight, rocking out. We about to do a best of UFC 2018 episode. Also, we're going to both throw out our dream cards for 2019. And first and foremost, before we get into any of that, before I even pass the microphone, I just want to say one thing. It was my boy's birthday the other day, Lee's birthday, this past Monday. That was 3 days ago. So everybody, please wish him a happy birthday if you're listening now. Wish him a happy birthday. Send him some positive thoughts. I just want to throw that out there before we get going. So happy birthday, Lee.
Oh, man, thank you. Much appreciated. 48 years young, man. You know, got to bring it in with my family back home. My first time celebrate my birthday with my family since 1989, actually. But, you know, man, it was a good time, even though I went home for somber reasons. You know, you always got to put some good through with the bad, so, and don't let the bad outweigh the good. So, you know, but I'm here tonight to rock on, man. You know, this our show, man. Let's do it. What'd you say, episode 83?
It's number 83. Hey, by the way,
man.
Another year old, another year wiser, right?
I sure hope so. But look, man, 83. So, number 83, I think Wes Welker won the number 83. Great slot receiver that played for the Patriots, the Dolphins, the Broncos. You know, shout out to Wes Welker, man.
Absolutely. You know, I just tried to look up 83 real quick, and I couldn't find anything. Didn't pop up players, so I bet you there's some other players too. Wes Welker is always good. You know, we like Wes Welker. I'm from Boston, so, you know, I'm a Patriots fan, obviously. So I was happy with that call-out. You know, we didn't need to find anybody else to take Wes Welker out of the spot. You know, a lot of people didn't stop talking about Wes Welker after he – whatever happened when he left the Patriots, and they don't really put the respect on his name, but I always kept putting respect on his name. The same way when one of my favorite players, Adam Vinatieri, used to be our kicker back in the day. And if we didn't have him, we wouldn't have won a couple of those first Super Bowls that we had, you know, in the early 2000s, those couple of Super Bowls. If we didn't have Adam Vinatieri, then I don't think we would have won at least one or two of those Super Bowls. So, it just seemed like when he left the Patriots and he went to Indianapolis, you know, people started putting disrespect on his name and stuff like that. So I never let any of that talk fly. If you're here once, you're always here. That's kind of how I rock out with it.
That's what's up, bro.
So on that note, you know, this episode is big. Best of UFC 2018 episode. I just want to jump into this and talk some of our, you know, yourself and I, you know, me and Lee's favorite UFC moments from 2018, as well as, you know, getting into, you know, throwing out both of our dream cards. You know, what would be the most ideal, perfect card that we'd want to see UFC card in 2019. So we're going to get into both of those things. The first moment that I want to throw out there, which probably was my favorite UFC moment of 2018, and this came to mind right when I thought of it, was the Korean Zombie versus Yair Rodriguez fight. It was a main event of a UFC fight night in the second half of the year, and that fight was so crazy. Five-round classic. You know, if you didn't see that fight, you got to go look it up and watch it. You got to get ESPN Plus or Fight Pass, whatever, and you got to go run that footage back, because that fight is an instant classic, and I feel like it went under the radar. It's still an underappreciated fight, and I think it was an underpromoted fight too, because that's two really talented guys, and they reminded everybody of that. And the fight, you know, it was on the feet. You know, they were on the feet the entire time, just throwing bombs, and it came down to, you know, I thought Korean Zombie was going to win a decision. You know, it seemed like he had Yair Rodriguez outclassed a little bit, you know, it wasn't a one-sided fight. You know, it was back and forth, but, you know, you could see that Korean Zombie was most likely up on the scorecards. And then at the last second, you know, it seemed like, you know, we're in the championship rounds. We're in the fifth round at this point, and I think Korean Zombie was definitely on his way to a victory. Within the last minute of the fifth round, for some odd reason, and to this day, I still can't explain why, you know, Korean Zombie's camp thought this was the right move. But Korean Zombie just started charging in, looking like he was, you know, he was rushing to get a finish, you know, to get a finish, to secure a finish in the last minute of the fight, knowing damn well that he was up on the scorecard. So I don't know why, but you know, long story short, Korean Zombie kind of charges in, you know, goes on the offensive, and then ends up running into a freak elbow from Yair Rodriguez, which knocked him unconscious. And that was in the last second of the fight.
That was 1 second on the clock.
Yeah, with 1 second on the clock, he ran into a Yair Rodriguez random freak elbow that came out of nowhere and knocked him unconscious within 1 second of the fight. It was so last second. It might have even happened at zero. The clock might have hit zero when he fell down. The time of the round had ended, and he just got knocked unconscious. And it was so crazy because I actually thought when I first saw this moment, me and my boy that I was watching it with were so shocked by this moment. We didn't even know what happened. Like, my boy jumped out of his seat. We were in Buffalo Wild Wings, and we watched a lot of the fights there. My boy jumped out of his seat and was going crazy. I didn't even react for a second. I had my hands on my head. Like, you know, it was the most – like, I just saw a ghost because I'm like, yo, I thought Korean Zombie just fell out of exhaustion. Like, I thought – I didn't see the elbow at first. I just seen him kind of charge in. It looked like he just fell when the clock ran out. I thought he just fell out of exhaustion. Like, because they just really threw hands for 25 minutes straight with no stoppage. So I was understandable if he would have just fall down because the guy is really tired. I thought that's what happened because I didn't see the elbow at first. Then when they played it back and I saw that freak, you know, come out of nowhere elbow, you know, from Yair Rodriguez, I was just like, wow, man, that was an amazing move. Oh, my God. You know, I wasn't too happy. You know, I thought it could have been somebody else rather than Korean Zombie because I really like him. You know, he's one of my guys. You know, one of our earlier shows, Lee probably remembers, you know, I think it was last year or the year before on our show, he asked me who is one of my fighters to look out for in the coming year. I think it was actually the top of last year. He said, who is a fighter that you think that everybody should look out for this year? I said Korean Zombie. That was one of my guys that I said. And yeah, he put on arguably the fight of the year with Yair Rodriguez. So I would say, Lee, that I think I made a pretty good prediction. Even though he got knocked out, that was still one of the fights of the year, I think. So regardless, props to Yair Rodriguez for an amazing fight. Props to Korean Zombie for an amazing fight. And Yair Rodriguez, I imagine he practiced that elbow. It looked like a timed elbow, and it seemed to be perfectly timed to land the finish. And it was unbelievable. So props to both of them for a fight of the year candidate. That's my, you know, definitely top moment of 2018, top fight of 2018 as well.
Yeah, you kind of threw me off with that one. I thought you would have went with UFC Fight Night Boston, being that I think that was last year, right?
Yeah, that was January of last year.
I thought you would have picked that as your moment of 2018, being that you went to that event live, and it was a hell of an event. So I thought
but don't get me wrong, that was an experience, and that was my event of 2018, being that I was there live. But I'm saying that so as for a fight and as for a specific moment in a fight, I would say that finish in Zombie Rodriguez was probably that was for that. But for events of 2018, yeah, definitely UFC Boston. You didn't even let me get to that.
Okay. Okay, my bad.
I'll get into that, too. I'll get into that, too.
Yeah, my bad. If I had to say my fight of the year, I would go with
Whitaker in the mirror.
Nah, actually, this probably won't even on your radar, but I'm going to go with I'm gonna go with Tony Ferguson and Anthony Pettis, man. Even though I saw the Yair Rodriguez fight live, you know, versus Korean Zombie, I was at that event. Anthony Pettis and Tony Ferguson put on a hell of a fight, even though Anthony Pettis wasn't able to finish it. You know, I thought Tony Ferguson would walk through him because, you know, one thing about Showtime is when he normally steps up in competition, it's just something about his skill set never seems to rise to the top. But Ferguson came out and established a pace, you know, precision kicks and strikes against Pettis. And I was like, man, he's going to get Pettis up out of there. But then, man, Pettis just came out of nowhere. It just, man, he just started training with Ferguson, you know, took Ferguson down, you know, talking shit to Ferguson during the fight. You know, they was going at it. And, you know, Pettison are getting hurt and couldn't continue. But Pettis showed me a lot of heart in that fight. And that was definitely one of my standout fights of 2018. And, you know, it was a great fight, man. It was a great showing by Anthony Pettis. And it was definitely a great fight for Tony. Man, that was his first fight in, what, like 18 months or something like that. But fight of the year, I'm going with the Black Beast versus, was it Volkan? I can't think of the guy's name right now.
Volkov.
His fight basically ended the same way the Yair Rodriguez Korean Zombie fight ended. Because Derek Lewis was definitely getting beat. And, you know, I was sitting there the whole time, and I was like, man, all it takes is one shot. Actually, I was up in Buffalo. We was at 12 Peaks watching the fight. And me and my homeboy C-Dub, we're sitting there watching the fight. And I was like, man, I don't think Derek Lewis going to pull this off. And with like 5 seconds left in the fight, I think it was more like 15 seconds left in the fight, he connected with that right hand. Old boy fell, a little ground to pound. And Derek Lewis came back and won that fight. And he was losing on the scorecards also. And I think that fight, that showing of heart propelled him to his championship opportunity, which I wish he would have waited to take, because fighting on 28 days short notice just wasn't a good idea, especially going against one of the all-time greats of Daniel Cormier. But my fight of the year would definitely be Volkov versus Derek Lewis. And the way Derek Lewis propelled himself to victory, and probably one of the greatest all-time post-fight interviews in UFC history. My balls was hot. All-time great post-fight interview. So that's hilarious. What I'm with my fight of the year, man.
Go ahead. I cut into you a moment.
Yeah, all I know is the fight itself was it wasn't like a slobber knocker fight, you know, like we go to expect for heavyweights. As far as him pulling it out and showing heart, and then being giving himself an honest assessment on his performance, when he said, "I need to work on my cardio, I need to get better with this, this, and this," and then the post fight interview. So, you know, that'll be my fight of the year.
Yeah, I think it was cool because, you know, and I thought that was a really good fight too. I'm glad you brought up both of those because there was many really good fights. You know, there's a couple too that we haven't brought up. You know, I think if there was a few more, you know, if there was one or two more people on the show, or you know, I bet one of those two people would probably have their fight of the year being Justin Gaethje versus Dustin Poirier.
Uh-huh.
I think that would probably come up. And if not that, then I think Eddie Alvarez, I want to say Eddie Alvarez and Poirier was in 2018 also, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yep. I thought that was.
That was
too.
In 2018 no, too?
Yeah, because that was the one with the illegal elbow, right?
No, you're thinking of
No. It was the illegal elbow.
No, you're thinking of that wasn't that one.
Okay, okay.
Well, because Eddie Alvarez and Justin Gaethje, they had the it was a legal knee that Alvarez finished Gaethje with in their fight, but then there was an illegal 12-6
elbow in the Poirier Alvarez fight.
Yeah, in the second Poirier fight, and then it was just funny because then right after that moment, we saw Poirier rise back up, and it's like that gave him a second win from Eddie, you know, them calling him out for that elbow, and then he went and finished Eddie like within 2 minutes after that. So that was a really crazy fight. Speaking of which, we have a caller on the line right now. I want to jump him into the call and see what he or she is talking about tonight. Yo, who we have on the line?
Yo, what up? It's Phil the MMA dude. What's going on, guys?
Oh, what's going on, brother?
What's going
How you
on,
doing, Phil?
Yo, thank you so much for having me. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going great. We're just, you know, we just got done. We're doing a best of UFC 2018 show tonight. So, you know, this is Lee. You know, he's the host of the show, and I'm Keys, the other host of the show. So this is Lee and Keys, and this is Phil the MMA dude. Everybody who don't know, me and him are pretty good friends on Twitter. You know, we talk a lot and fight and things like that. So he's a really cool guy. Also,
all right, so where'd I come in? What are we discussing about 2018?
Yeah,
go
so
ahead,
best
Keith.
Of UFC 2018, we both just gave our pretty much moment of 2018 for UFC. You know, I said Korean Zombie and Yair Rodriguez as, you know, not only fight of 2018, but that finish in the last second. You know, for 2018, and then Lee said, you know, Derek Lewis versus Alexander Volkov with Derek Lewis being down on the scorecards, he's about to lose, and then him getting that, you know, flash knockout in like the last, you know, 20 seconds of the fight. So we want to know what's your biggest moment or favorite UFC moment of 2018.
Yeah. So I love both those moments. I think I had them on my awards list as knockout of the year and then fight of the year, respectively. So those both made my list. But I think if I'm going to go personally for me on moment of 2018, I would have to say just with the lead up to the Conor versus Khabib fight, the moment being, of course, just shortly, immediately after Conor, you know,
fight.
Get tapped out, and they just share that look where they make eye contact. I don't know if you guys have seen the photo in black and white. It's really, really,
I've seen it.
Really cool looking. And to me, that's the moment of 2018.
Yeah. I know the exact picture that you're talking about. You know, I actually thought you were going to say that your moment of 2018 within the fight was when Khabib caught Conor, when Conor was kind of, you know, looking down, kind of looking for the takedown, and then Khabib actually swung high, and he almost looked like he rocked Conor and knocked him down. I thought you were going to say that was the moment of the fight.
Yeah.
Okay, Phil.
That's a big moment,
Phil,
too.
So
that's a big moment, too.
Explain us why that was your moment of 2018.
Yeah, I think, you know, great question. I think it was the moment of 2018 because it was a serious and true changing of the guard. Because let's be honest, I know that the belt changed hands, you know, earlier in the year, I believe in April, when Khabib defeated Ali Aquinta, right, to win the belt. You guys all know this. But the truth is, 229 felt like Conor was still the champion. I mean, he came into the press conferences with his belt, and, you know, Khabib had his belt. I remember there was that famous moment where Conor barked at Dana, you know, "Get me my belt," and Dana said, "Get him his belt," you know, like a little, you know, like a little whatever.
Lacky.
And I think that, yeah, and, you know, there was so much genuine hatred between the two, that rivalry. And then, in the end, we just saw that Khabib had the answer for Conor. I won't necessarily say that he's the better fighter career-wise yet, although he's getting close, obviously.
Okay. Actually, that was my number three moment of 2018. It was
okay.
Yeah, it was my number three moment.
Yeah, I like your two choices also. Those were my knockout and then my fight of the year.
Yeah, because I had Ferguson I had Ferguson and Pettis fight as another moment of the, my second moment of the year.
Yeah, that was a really good one for sure. That was a really good one.
Yeah.
And then
absolutely,
and then
absolutely.
You know, another one that I definitely want to bring up, because Lee actually called me out for not mentioning this one in my when I originally stated my moment. You know, because I was at, you know, I'm, so Phil, you might not know this. I mean, I say that the listeners to our show know this. I mean, I'm from Boston, so I went to the UFC 220 card when they came out here to Boston. You know, about this time
nice.
Last year, it was actually on January 20th, so it was like, you know, a couple days ago this time last year, and I went to that card. And you know, first of all, that card on paper, I feel like a lot of people, it was an underappreciated card, and I actually didn't even know.
It's a great card.
I mean, I knew I was excited because I was, yes, it was a great card, and I think it was a sleeper card because, you know, even on my way there, I didn't really know. You know, I was excited because it was my first time ever attending an event. I just didn't know, you know, with the look to the card, you know, what it would be like. But, you know, I knew I was excited regardless. I was going to see Stipe. He's, like, one of my favorite fighters of all time, so there's that. I was going to see Cormier, you know, another great talent. I was excited to see that. You know, two really good title fights. Also, you have Rob Font, who's from Massachusetts. You know, he actually is from, you know, about 45 minutes from where I live. So shout out to Rob Font. He's another one of my favorite fighters. He was on the card. He fought, I forget who he fought, somebody from Brazil. You know, the guy that Cody Garbrandt, you know, knocked out. It was his first loss. I can't think of his name. But that was a really good fight. I mean, they just ended up being on paper. You couldn't really tell. It didn't look, you know, quote-unquote stacked on paper. But then the card delivered, especially if it, you know, that I was there. And I feel like in the building, we knew that. I don't know how it looked on pay-per-view, but I thought in the building it really delivered. You know, the moment that I want to highlight, though, about the whole card was oh, yeah, by the way, it was Thomas Almeida. Rob Font fought
Almeida
that night.
I just pulled it up because I got curious. Yeah, second round, 224 the second. Yeah, I'm remembering that now. I'd forgotten about that fight.
Yeah, and I wanted to say it was somebody, it was a Brazilian fighter. I just couldn't think off the top of my head who it was. Almeida has a fight coming up soon, too, so that's cool. I'm glad to see him getting back. You know, but the moment that I wanted to bring up from the Boston card is the, you know, in the main event, Stipe Miocic and Francis Ngannou. You know, I was one of the only people, you know, while we were riding in there, I went with a couple of my family members, you know, cousins and what have you. And everybody in the car right there was saying Ngannou. I was the only one saying Stipe was gonna outclass this guy. And then everybody, you know, the betting, everybody was betting Ngannou. You know, calling me crazy and whatnot and all this stuff. You know, this is the end of Stipe. So I was loving it. I was excited. I couldn't wait to everybody to get their mouths closed once they saw this performance. And they absolutely did. I think it was in the first round. This is that first round, you know, I understand why Ariel Helwani said that was the round of the year. And a lot of people want to know why he said that was the round of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go back and watch the round, you will remember why, because you just saw, you know, what is Ngannou do, you know, all his fights, what he's known for. He comes out of the gate swinging in the first round, and more times than not, he gets the finish within the first round. But what we ended up seeing was Stipe outlasting him over the rounds, and, you know, an exhausted Ngannou who end up, you know, on the mat, and he doesn't have an answer for it. You know, he's also exhausted. He doesn't have the cardio to, you know, keep going, you know, round for round with somebody like Stipe. So that first round when you saw Ngannou come out the gate just throwing heavy shots at Stipe, and Stipe was kind of, you know, being evasive, ducking, and, you know, actually starting to land some strikes back, that was the moment. That whole round, you know, there was a couple moments. There wasn't an exact moment that I can pinpoint right now, but, you know, that round one and that round two, especially the round one when you seen Stipe just ducking and diving, you know, just staying alive and just wearing Ngannou out. And then also, Stipe was counterpunching, and I was just getting so excited in that moment. I was jumping out of my seat. I was like, let's go. You know, it was amazing. That was probably my round of 2018, was that first round, Stipe and Ngannou.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I remember that fight very well because I know that Keys knows this. I mean, my favorite fighter of all time by far is Daniel Cormier. So, you know, I was all kinds of pumped up for that card because of that, but also because of Stipe Ngannou. I remember I'm a big sucker for for like the YouTube fan made trailers, and there was a great one for that card.
There were some really great ones.
Yeah, yeah. And I honestly obviously already picked, but I agree with you, man. That was maybe round of the year. It was so exciting, and Stipe took some big hits, but he also held his own, and he stood standing, and he ate a lot of big shots in that first round.
Definitely took some shots.
Yeah,
and a lot of people didn't think that he was going to be able to take one. Everybody, you know, the greatest thing about that lead up was not only did they have all the fan made trailers, but you had all the UFC back in Ghana, which is okay because this is the UFC model. You've got to back the contender when, especially these big heavy punchers. You know, just like we saw a similar case with the DC and Volkan Ozdemir, another heavy puncher coming in versus a guy who has experience wrestling in Daniel Cormier. So, when you had Ngannou, they had him punch, the punching machine. And remember they said he, broke the punching machine or something like this. And then they were saying that his right hand or whatever was, equivalent to, a Ford Escape traveling at full speed or something like this. I don't remember what exactly reference they made to his punching power, but everybody kept on referencing that and then saying, oh, I don't know if Stipe can handle a shot from him. Well, he handled it. I'm getting excited right now just thinking about it. He handled a plethora of shots, from that hand, okay? And another thing is that Ngannou's footwork was not nearly as good as it was when he fought Alistair Overeem. You see, he was a lot more flat-footed in the Stipe Miocic fight. I think that played a big factor. He was not as confident.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to get you guys off topic because I know you're talking about 2018, but just while we're on the Stipe subject and you said you're a big Stipe fan, what is your guess? How do you see this whole thing playing out? Is Brock Lesnar for real? Is he going to fight DC soon? Because I feel like if he doesn't sign up soon, then they're going to make DC Stipe too.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the most likely option. I had said that on Twitter too, I think, because, look at it. February is already, February is next week. The time is ticking here. If Daniel Cormier is serious about retiring, the first, the second week of March when he turns 40 years old, which, I think he is. He's done enough in his career. Why not? And if he's, really serious about that retirement date, then he wants to get a fight soon. I would think that he's already in a fight camp right now. I'm not trying to give a spoiler or anything. I don't even know. Hey, you'd probably be the guy for that. But, if I wanted to guess, I would say Cormier would want to be in a fight camp right now, because if he's going to retire in March, he'd want to be, building up to his last fight now, not getting his last fight booked around his retirement date, because then he's not retiring until almost the summer. I think that Brock Lesnar, I heard he has to pay. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Finish your thought.
I don't see Brock fighting Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to happen because I heard he has to pay a fine. I think I read it on Bloody Elbow. I'm not saying that's the most credible source or that it's not the most credible. That's the only place I read it, so I can only quote one source, but I think Bloody Elbow reported that Brock Lesnar had to pay like a $250,000 fine if he wanted to compete in the UFC again. Plus, he has to get back in the USADA testing pool, which I haven't heard anything about that.
He's back in it, though. I can confirm 100% that he is back in it, and he's been back in it.
Yep.
Is he?
He's back in it.
I'm sorry?
No, I didn't know if he was clean, if he had already tested and he was good to go.
Oh,
they've been testing him, but then there was a story that broke out from a reputable source from MMA Junkie, I believe, last month that said that one of Brock's samples mysteriously went missing. So, look, I don't even want to get into that rabbit hole, but, you can only smirk and laugh, right? I mean, what a joke. But that does make me think that kind of makes me think that he will fight, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so, bro. Only reason I say I don't think so is because when he re-upped his deal with WWE, and they gave him all that, because I can't remember how big of a deal it was, but they did give him a massive deal. And then I think a couple weeks back, there was a report that he was going to come out, that he met with Dana and told Dana he was retired from MMA. I really don't see Lesnar doing it. But at the same time, you never know, because Lesnar is a WWE guy, and WWE guys are all about the promo. So,
yep.
So I don't, you know, that all could be smoke and mirrors just for him to, you know, pop up one day on the UFC event and say, yeah, the fight for Daniel Cormier has just been signed, la, 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 la. Even though that fight would be trash to me, I think Stipe deserves a rematch. And I just don't understand the Brock Lesnar thing. Everybody knows that Brock Lesnar, he's a big guy. But you put a big guy in a ring with Daniel Cormier, Daniel Cormier destroys all guys that are bigger than him. Everybody that's bigger than him, he beats them. I mean, I'm still kind of up in the smoke about the Stipe fight because of the eye poke thing. But, you know, he did. He knocked him out. The record book said he won. But I just don't see how Lesnar is a big fight for DC. I think the big fights for him this
year
will
probably
be.
I think it's getting DC paid.
That'd be a money fight. It'd be a money fight for sure. But my thing for DC is, we know that him and Jones 3 really don't need to happen unless it happens at heavyweight.
I want it at heavyweight. My number one fight I want in 20, but it's got to be at heavyweight.
Well, John said he won't fight him at heavyweight. But
John's a cheating little bitch. That's because John's a cheating little bitch. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't like John, as you guys know. I don't like John.
I don't like DC, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, no. Oh, bro. Oh. Oh, man. I can't hear the reception. I got to go. No, I'm just kidding.
But that's neither here nor there. But you know, but DC does have a reputation of destroying bigger guys. That's why I just see Brock Lesnar getting taken down by DC and probably tapped out in probably the second round.
But one thing,
I just
one
don't
thing,
see it
hey,
being
look,
a competitive
Lee,
fight.
But Lee, look, but one thing is this though. One thing about that is this is you know, I didn't see this. This didn't occur to me until he fought Derek Lewis. Now, given the Derek Lewis fight, I don't really respect it because I feel like he fought a guy who just come out of a fight. So I didn't really put much stock into that win. I'm not saying that DC wouldn't beat Derek Lewis again. I think he beats him, you know, 100 out of 100 times. But it's just that you fought a guy who didn't even get a chance to recover from his last fight, which was a war. And, you know, the guy's saying he doesn't even have the gas tank to fight you. He admitted it, and then he has to fight you. But anyways, you know, one thing that I
would
saw,
counter. I hear you. I would counter that DC fought with a broken hand and literally 3 weeks of training.
This is true. This is true. But one thing, and that'll also help your argument and what I'm about to say, because, you know, when I saw that, what I saw during that fight is, you know, a lot of, during the build up, a lot of people said, you know, Derek Lewis, you know, guy, when he's fought wrestlers in the past, which he has, you know, obviously lower level wrestlers than DC, you know, it's not much comparison, but still, when he has fought them and he gets taken down, Derek Lewis, when he wants to get up, he gets right up. That's the thing. You can take him down, but he's a huge guy, and when he wants to get up, he's just going to stand up, and he does it every time. And he even did it with Cormier. The one thing that I saw was that Cormier was having trouble holding him down. I mean, he did wear him down. I think it was the second round finish. He did wear him down.
Yeah, early second round, I think.
Yeah, he did. By the time the second round came, he did get the finish. You know, props for that. I'm just saying that, you know, you had to admit there was moments during the fight where it looked like Cormier, you know, Derek Lewis was doing what we thought. You know, he was getting right up. You know, from the takedowns, he gets him off the mat when he wants to. And DC, it looked like he was having a little bit of trouble holding the guy down in the first round. And now with that being said, I'm now thinking forward to the Brock Lesnar fight, where I think Brock Lesnar is a much more athletic version of Derek Lewis. And with maybe, I don't really know, but maybe a better cardio than Derek Lewis, too, so he can last a bit longer. I'm just wondering.
Are you about to pick Brock Lesnar over DC?
No,
you can.
I'm not picking Lesnar. I'm just saying if he was having a hard time holding Derek Lewis down, a bigger guy, and I think Brock Lesnar is arguably a bigger guy than Derek Lewis. Maybe they're the same size, but I think Brock's also another huge guy. Will DC be able to hold Lesnar down?
Well, see, I didn't see it that way, though. I didn't see it that way. I just think that DC was really, you know, like my man said, he only had a short camp. He had a broken hand, you know.
Yeah, his hand was completely broken, by the way. Completely broken hand.
Yeah. So that probably could have played a part in him not being able to, you know, hold him down. But at the same time, as once he got him down and he was improving his positioning, Derrick Lewis basically went limp. You know what I'm saying? So
I think he would do
the same thing to Brock Lesnar. So I think DC was just basically trying not to overexert himself, knowing that he was on a short camp and knowing that he wasn't full strength. But with my man Phil, DC could take the Derrick Lewis fight. Why would he take the Stipe fight?
Well, DC actually he talked about that. He was pretty. That's what I like about DC. He's very honest. He said, "Hey, you know, full disclosure, I'm not going to take the Stipe fight on 3 weeks' notice with a broken hand, but I will take Derrick Lewis. Why? Because I think Derrick Lewis is a shittier fighter." And I'm paraphrasing. Excuse my language. Sorry. Can we even swear on this? My bad.
Yeah, he didn't say that exactly. But that is true. He did more or less say that, you know, without the cuss word.
Yeah. Yeah, excuse my language, guys. It's a bad habit.
No, it's fine. You know, he definitely put a respect to Stipe saying that, you know, it's a much tougher fight to take on 3 weeks' notice than is the Derrick Lewis fight. So
and
that
you've
got to
respect
that
honesty,
that.
Right?
I respect that. I respect that he come out and said that. Because I think we
and I do think he's
going to
fight
that.
Stipe again. Yeah, I think he's going to give Stipe
so
that
too.
Rematch. So, and who you guys got in the rematch?
So before we get into that, I just want to jump into our dream card
because
that rematch is on my dream card for 2019. So let me just kick it off with that. All right, so everybody, you know, Phil, I hope that I'm sure you can muster up a quick, you know, five fight main card dream card for 2019. I'm going to do mine off top as well, and I'm sure Lee's got one in the vault as well. So here I go. I'm going to kick mine off. So first off, I want to see Daniel Cormier versus Stipe Miocic 2. You know, that could be the main event.
Yep.
Let's put that in the main event. The second one is I want to see Tyron Woodley and Colby Covington. Put that in the co-main event. So there's two title fights. Another one that I want to see is, I know they wouldn't put all of these on the same card, but, like, this is just the way I'm thinking of it, dream card, right? So Max Holloway and Frankie Edgar, I still want to see that. Max Holloway versus really anybody, but Max and Edgar I still want to see, so put that on there. Or possibly, if he were to move to lightweight, I'd want to see Max Holloway and Tony Ferguson on that card for no belt. Just do Holloway and Ferguson. That would probably be
my
third
man.
Fight right there. So,
at 140. Do it at 140.
Yeah, so let me keep going here. So another one is, the bantamweight. Okay, so I want to see Dillashaw go back to 135, and on this card he would fight preferably either Marlon Moraes or Rafael Assuncao. So the winner of that fight, you know, have Dillashaw fight the winner of that fight. That's number four. And then for the fifth one, I don't really know what's going on with a lot of the women's divisions right now. I can't really think of an extremely intriguing matchup that I'd probably want to see. I want to put a women's fight on there.
Nunez.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
What's up? Wait, what was it? What was the pick?
No, that wasn't my pick.
I said if I had to pick a women's fight, I said for a women's fight, I don't see Megan Anderson versus Amanda Nunez.
So,
Nunez.
That wasn't.
No?
So hold on.
But
for my fifth one, I'm going to just put those to the side because I'm not really too crazy about what's going on in the women's divisions right now. So I'm just going to go ahead and put John Jones versus, I want to see the Anthony Smith fight, but that one's actually like close to book, so I won't put it on my dream card because it might happen. I want to see John Jones fight Thiago Santos.
My man.
That'll be my five
fight.
I like that.
Okay, on Twitter you put Ferguson Poirier, McGregor Iaquinta, John Santos, Whitley Covington, and Stipe and Miocic too. So yeah, you was basically on point.
Yeah, I just that one I had to go freestyle off top. I don't have that what I wrote down right here. So I like those matchups as well.
Phil, what would be your long train card?
Yeah. All right. So I got to choose. How's this work? I got to choose five fights.
Yeah.
Yep.
They don't have to be title fights. They could be super fights. They could be catchweight
could
fights.
Could be anything.
Five fights you want to see.
It could even be in another organization.
Okay.
Like, go ahead and shoot off some Bellator fights. I'm fine with it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The first fight I would headline this with, the biggest one, I got to go DC versus John Jones 3, but it must be at heavyweight. I can't say that enough. It's got to, you know, if it's not at heavyweight, fucking forget it. I have zero interest in the third fight at 205. That would be, I hate that so much. It's got to be at heavyweight. Let's finish this once and for all. And by the way, guys, I'm on record all over Twitter saying that if DC Jones 3 happens at heavyweight and DC loses, I'm going to film myself getting my head shaved by my boy, my buddy. He's going to shave my head, film me. I'm going to post it on Twitter. So you guys all got my word on that. Because DC's going to win that. Mark my words. Mark my words. At heavyweight. But in light heavyweight, he loses, of course. Okay, second fight. I've got to say Khabib versus Tony. It's just that's the fight. Like Khabib versus Tony Ferguson.
I still want to see that.
Okay.
Yeah, I just think it'd be great. So my third one has Ferguson in it as well. So should I just move on?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
All right, yeah. So you just named it, but Bless versus Boogie. I want Max Holloway versus Tony Ferguson for the interim lightweight championship. If Khabib suspended and hold up. I know you got mad with the interim.
Say for the interim belt, man. Oh my god.
Yeah. Yo. hang on. Let me explain for a second, okay? The interim belts are obviously a joke. They mean nothing right now. Of course, we all know that. Look what happened to Colby. They're a prop. But they didn't used to be. Only this year did they get fucked over with Tony and Colby. Because look at Max Holloway and look at Robert Whittaker, by the way. Look at Robert Whittaker and tell me that interim belts don't matter. So go back one year and forget all the bullshit of this year, then interims matter again. And you can make some of the Holloway Ferguson. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's number three. Number four, I got to put McGregor Cowboy. I think it's the perfect time for both of them.
Yeah, I like that one.
I just think it's got – I mean, that thing's just got money written all over it. I mean, literally, you could print money out of it. I mean, McGregor Cowboy, that sounds like such a blast. I mean, who's not excited? Who doesn't want to see that? Like, come on, right? And then, you know, for the fifth one, I really got to choose, I'm not going to choose Nunez Cyborg 2 because I know it's not going to happen. So I'm going to go I'm going to go with Dillashaw versus Magic Marlon Moraes because the truth is I don't think Dillashaw's not that good, bro. I think he's a little overrated. I know I'm being harsh after the weight cut. But mark my words, Marlon Moraes is going to get that magic touch. He's going to sleep him.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Man, great minds
think alike.
Great minds think alike. Great minds think alike. For my part, my main event will be for the greatest welterweight champion of all time.
Oh, boy.
I got GSP versus Woodley.
Nice.
How did I have that?
Yeah,
I'm the biggest Woodley fan ever. How did I have that? That's ridiculous. I should be ashamed of myself. I might just hang up. I'm gonna kick myself off.
I love Woodley. Team Woodley.
And then I got the co-main event, Tony Ferguson versus Conor McGregor.
Woo!
And then I have
That's a good one.
And then I have Marlon Moraes versus T.J. Dillashaw.
We all have that.
Nice.
And then I got Adesanya versus Yoel Romero. That's
okay,
only if
Adesanya. I like that one.
That's if Adesanya has the belt.
What about Adesanya Whitaker? Whoa! What about Adesanya Whitaker? Okay.
I think that fight is gonna happen anyway. So I think that's why I said if Adesanya has the belt, I think Adesanya versus Romero for the belt would be definitely a good scrap. And then my last fight is just for shits and giggles, and also because this guy's been talking a lot of trash here lately with his recent move up to 205. And I said John Jones versus Luke Rockhold.
That's a funny fight.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a really good card.
That might have been the best.
We all just laid out some pretty good cards, I thought.
GSP will never take that Woodley fight because everyone knows exactly how that would go.
You know what? And the funny part is I was talking to Keys about this on a previous show. I said what Woodley needs to do is after he beats Usman, just start talking shit about GSP. Just start talking
about
shit
GSP
in the post-fight interview
fight.
About GSP. Yep, just call him out after the fight. And then when he beats Kobe Covington, call him out again. And this time you lay down the facts. You be like, I beat this person. I had this many title offenses. You claim you the best. You retired on top of your game. And then just try to drag him through the mud and make GSP feel some kind of weight. And maybe he'll fall for the bait.
100%. Think about what he could say. What kind of a man he's not even retired, and he's just letting me run his division. What kind of man is that?
Mental warfare.
I like that approach. That is mental warfare.
I'm telling you, man, that's the only way he's going to get GSP to even say something about it. He's going to have to, like, really, really go in deep on the verbal warfare on him. He's going to have to, like, man, he's going to have to dig deep to get GSP to come out to fight him.
But is he capable of that? Because let's be honest, the three of us are much, much, much better at knowing how to start these fights with, you know, in the UFC than Woodley is. I mean, Woodley is – I love him. I love Woodley, but he is so awkward and clueless.
But you know what, though? I think if him and Dana White weren't so water and oil, I think Dana White could tell Woodley, hey, man, what you need to do is this. And you know, he could feed Woodley information on how to bring GSP back to the octagon. But being that they don't talk and they don't get along, it's just something Woodley going to have to do on his own. He going to have to do it on his own.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, guys, I got to hop off in a minute, and I'm sorry I took over the whole show like an asshole. Is there anything?
Nah,
that's my language again. Anything? My bad.
Oh,
yo,
man,
I'm sorry,
good?
Guys.
Hey, we appreciate
you having
you
on, bro.
The UFC talk, man.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
really
yo, thank you guys
you
for
on,
having me.
With us.
Really quick, if I could
also,
just mention,
also, one more thing
I've got
everybody, you know, go follow him on Twitter, first of all, at PhilTheMMADude. Second of all, go check out his podcast. It's called the Split Decision Podcast. Go follow that and listen to some of their episodes. It's great stuff. I checked it out. I love
four
it.
Words,
so go listen
exactly.
to that if
four
you follow UFC.
The Split Decision Podcast. Yeah, and we're on iTunes, YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Thank you both for letting me on. Had a fucking blast. A blast with you guys. And I better go before I swear again. Peace out.
Phil the MMA Dude, thanks for calling in. Have a good one, brother.
Have a good evening, bro. Damn, bro, we almost had the same fights, man.
Yeah, and that was really crazy. We all, you know, the one fight we all had was Dillashaw and Marlon Moraes. So I think that's a good luck charm.
Yeah.
That fight's got to happen. I think that fight happens in 2019.
Oh, yeah, because I don't want to see Dillashaw and Cejudo, too. I'm really not feeling that.
Yeah, I don't think we really need to see that one. You know, I'm kind of getting tired of, you know, one thing I want to say for 2019, and I think we'll both be able to easily agree. Yeah, I think we'll both be able to agree on this. Yeah, I'm going right in for it all the way. You know, for 2019, aside from our dream cards, one thing I want to see, you know, to stop in 2019, to stop doing, is holding up divisions, man. This is too much. Holding up every division. There always has to be a super fight. There always has to be a champion versus champion fight. There always has to be some other cross discipline fight or some random thing that's just happening. You know, some guy going up. There's always some ridiculous stipulation that's holding up a division. Whatever it is, it is just always unbelievable. You know, just other contract negotiations, other bullshit. I mean, does everybody stop holding up divisions, please? And stop with these champion versus champion fights. You know, that's the biggest cause of it that's holding up all the divisions right now. You know, let's start getting back to the old days where you can have – yeah, this is my last bit right here – where you can have champion versus number one contender fights. Let's just get back to that, please. Go ahead.
And another thing, to piggyback on what Man Keys was saying, you know, a lot of people gave Anthony Pettis hell on Twitter for wanting to go up and wait to fight Wonderboy. And I was probably one of the only people that was like, what's wrong with that? It's the spirit of competition. He want to test himself in the octagon against another good fighter. What's wrong with the spirit of competition? Guys should want to fight the best guys, whether it's for a belt or whether it's not for a belt. The spirit of competition is dying in the UFC because of this champ thing, this fake interim belt thing. Let's get back to the spirit of the UFC, how to fight the best guys, fight the best guys, how the number one contender fight the champ, and let's figure it out in the octagon. Let's not figure it out in post-fight interviews, Twitter beefs, fake TV interviews and stuff like that. Let guys get in the octagon and prove themselves to each other and show us, the fans, the best fights in the world. I'm with Keys, man. I'm tired of this champ stuff. I've been over the intro belt thing. I'm all about the spirit of competition now. Nothing the spirit of competition. You know what, Keys? Remember last year I said New Blood was my theme for 2018? My theme for 2019 is let's get back to the spirit of competition in the UFC. That's my thing for 2019. How you like that, Keys?
I love it. I think that's a great idea. Let's get back to guys not stepping down and wanting to fight other guys instead of, you know, people dropping belts, you know, releasing their title because they don't want to fight guys. You know, kind of like that.
Exactly.
You know, they had the women's featherweight title. They had the fight, and then the girl wins the belt. And then she dropped the belt because she didn't want to fight Cyborg. And I think
Jermaine Geronimo.
Yeah. Yeah, that's who it was. So let's not with that trend, because that's ridiculous. That kind of, you know, that's just a bad example for upcoming fighters. You know, you want people to want to fight the best, you know, men and women in their divisions, not, you know, run away scared because you don't want to have to fight a certain somebody that the organization wants you to fight. That's just ridiculous. So let's get back to the champion fighting the number one contender or the number two contender or just champion versus top five contenders. It's fine with me. I don't even care if it's the number four guy. Have him fight anyone in the top five, I'm happy with. I think anyone in the top five is, in my book, is in title talk, and they could get a shot at any moment. So let's just get back to doing that.
Oh, Keith, I meant to remind you, man. I know one of the fights that you want to see in 2019, female, you want to see Tatiana Suarez.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say, well, it would have to be, I think she's in Rose's division, right?
Yep, it would be her third Rose.
Yes. it would have to be Rose versus Tatiana Suarez. Wow, that would be a crazy one. I was actually inches away. Well, I was centimeters away from having that be my last fight on my dream card. That was the first one that I come up with. But then I remembered a bit from the tweet that I posted where I was trying to get some of those in there. So I threw in the John Jones and Thiago Santos because I do want to see Jones more active in this year. That's why I had to throw it in there. But, yeah, Rose and Tatiana Suarez is another one that I would love to see go down in 2019 because I think Tatiana Suarez is a beast. I think she can clear out that division.
Yeah, man. You got me on her heart train because her last fight, man, she was super dominant.
Yeah. She mauled Carla Esparza. I was sitting there with my cousin, and we were playing DraftKings. We were having a head-to-head contest. And, one of the fights we both had the same is we both picked Carla Esparza in that fight. And, somebody that was with us had actually said, how do you guys, we ended up having there were three or four of us in the contest. And the other guy ended up beating all of us because he got so many points picking Tatiana Suarez. And he blew us out of the water with just that one fight. And all of us just really, we were just uneducated on how good she was. I hadn't seen her fight. I had to do my research and really educate myself. And then, she dominated this part. So I really can't. I think she could beat just about anybody in that division. I mean, I never count out Rose. I'm not saying, that Rose can't beat her. But, besides that, I don't really know. I think, the rest of that division is, they're just looking like, cooked meat.
Yeah, man. Hey, but look, man, I know we talked about a lot of good stuff tonight, but let's talk about one of our down moments for 2018. So what was one of your down moments for 2018?
What did you say?
You know how we talked about all the good things for 2018. What was one of the things that you thought was bad for the UFC in 2018 or a bad moment in 2018 in the UFC?
This one
should roll right off your tongue. You want me to mine is?
There was a couple bad moments. I really didn't like one of the ones that I really didn't like was when Brock Lesnar came into the cage after DC knocked out
Stipe. Exactly.
I really thought that was a garbage moment.
WWE.
It just looked so staged, so planned, so WWE scripted. Like, you might as well have just had Vince McMahon ringside too for that. You might as well have just had Vince McMahon come into the cage with Brock at that point, because I feel like WWE had a hand in that whole entire thing. So that was probably my top worst moment for the UFC in 2018, honestly.
I think my worst moment for 2018 is actually twofold. The first was UFC changing their website. I hate everything about the new website. It's so tough.
It's terrible.
It's so tough. It's so tough to navigate. It's not user friendly.
It's just not good.
Yeah. And then my second thing kind of goes hand in hand with the website is them going to ESPN. I really think they should have stayed on Fox, man. It's just something about them being on Fox. I understand ESPN gave them more money, but Fox was loyal to them, man. Fox gave them all the shows, came up with different programs. They had the Ultimate Fighter series being aired on Fox or FX. And I just think Fox has a bigger platform than ESPN. I know ESPN is the worldwide leader in sports and everything, but do you really think ESPN going to let the UFC be on ABC, on the premier channel? No. All their fight season going to be on ESPN, ESPN Plus, or on the ESPN app. And I think them staying on Fox was just so much better because you had FS1, FS2, you had FX, and you had Big Fox. And to me, that platform is just so much bigger. than what ESPN is probably going to do. And I think they had such a niche on Fox, whereas, you know, we had UFC Tonight, you know, we had the prelim show, we had the pre-fight show, the post-fight show, the weigh-in show, and I just think we're not going to get all that as fans on ESPN, so I wish they would have stayed on Fox, but I get the business side of it, though.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely, you know, I can see where you're coming from with that argument. I think that's a good, you know, a good big talking point for our next show. You know, I want to revisit that in our next show. As for tonight, you know, we gave y'all our best moments of UFC 2018, as well as both of our dream cards, including Phil the MMA Dude's dream card for 2019, as well as his, you know, favorite moment. Phil the MMA Dude's favorite moment of 2018. By the way, go check out his UFC and MMA podcast called The Split Decision Podcast. Go check that out. It's a great show. I listen to it. And go follow Phil the MMA Dude on Twitter as well. And I want to shout him out and say thank you for coming on and talking with us. We appreciate you. And you're welcome on here again anytime. Also, you know, we gave y'all our dream cards and our best of UFC 2018, as well as what we want to see in 2019. It was a good show tonight. We got to talk through many different topics. And, Lee, thank you for coming on. Happy birthday again, brother. And that's pretty much all I got for everybody. Stay positive. You know, Lee, close them out.
Hey, thanks, everybody, for lending us your ear. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. And you'll be back to give us another listen. And always in closing, peace.